Good morning and Boker Tov, and welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. So good to be together as always, study the Parsha Pa'aloscha, and to extract the lessons, the perspectives for today. Want to begin with our attitude of gratitude as always. A big thank you to our generous sponsors, Becky and Avi Katz and family, who sponsored the Parsha Perspectives series for the year in memory of Becky's father, David Grossman, David Ben Menachem Manish. Also a reminder, if you've not yet signed up for our 1&1 campaign, please do so. $1 a day of tzedakah, 1 minute a day of Torah learning, all in the merit of Esti Moskowitz, Esther Tehila Basari Yatzipora. All those who are ill should have a speedy and a painless refuah shlema, a full and speedy recovery. Also a reminder, our Parsha Perspectives for today are now being written up. You could print them out and read them at your Shabbos table. 3 beautiful Divrei Torah, 1 for each meal. Subscribe to our newsletter. Details are right here on the screen. Okay, Parshas Be'aloscha. Let's begin. Vaydaber Shema Moshe Le'mor. God speaks to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon, speak to your brother, v'yamarta elav, and tell him, Be'aloscha es haneros amul p'nei ha-menorah, ya'iru shivas haneros. When you light the lamps, when you kindle the candelabra, towards the face of the menorah, the 7 candles should face, they should illuminate, they should light. Says Rashi here on our pasuk, Be'aloscha, lama nismacha parshas sota parshas sota. Lama nismacha parshas menorah l'parshas nesiim. Why is the story, why is the lesson, or the obligation of the menorah adjacent, juxtaposed to the story of the nesiim? Last week's parsha, we had the seemingly or repetitive and redundant sacrifices that were offered by the princes, the Nesiim. So why did we end last week's parasha? All 12 Nesiim seem to bring the exact same korban, but we know that 2 chefs, 2 cooks, but put in the same spices, they could follow the same recipe, it's going to turn out entirely different. And the same is true for our great sages, our great leaders, our great Nesiim. Says Rashi, Lefi kishara Aaron Chanukas HaNesiim, Chol Shadaito Shaloya Imam B'Chanuka, Lohu Velo Shivto. When Aaron saw the Nesiim got to bring these great gifts, when he witnessed each of the leaders, the heads of the tribes, brought their own sacrifice, he felt very demoralized. He was saddened. Shalohaya Imam B'Chanukah, he wasn't part of this inauguration. Not him, and not his tribe. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chayecha, Shelcha Gedola Mishalohem, Shata Madlik Umeite V'Saneros. Don't worry, God says to Aaron, your lot is greater than theirs. They bring the sacrifice, but you're going to kindle, you're going to light the menorah each and every day. You're going to light the menorah each and every week. You're going to light the menorah each and every year. We've spoken about this many times before. Aaron seems to be like an impetuous child, God forbid, crying and complaining and kvetching. It's not fair to me. How come I don't get to bring the sacrifices? Aaron? This is Aaron HaKohen? Why is he kvetching? Why is he krechting? Pela plos. Halamalas Aaron HaKohen v'shevet Levi Atzuma. Aaron HaKohen and the whole tribe of Levi have an incredibly distinguished and noble position. Kadosh Baruch Hu says about them himself, V'hayuli ha-Leviim. The Leviim are for Hashem. They are the chosen ones. They have positions of distinction. They have a leadership role. Himala miyuchedesh rak shevet Levi zachal mikol ha-shvatim. V'prat Aaron HaKohen atzmo. And among shevet Levi, among the Kohanim, there's no one greater than Aaron. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. He's the high priest. He's the Gadol Shebegidolim. He is Kedushas Olamala Mikol Klal Yisrael. He is the highest level of sanctity, the highest level of holiness, the highest status, the highest identity, greater even than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is not the Kohen Gadol. So how could Aaron, who touches and attains the pinnacle, Aaron who climbs to the very top, this is the Aaron who's jealous? I would understand someone who doesn't have a role. I would understand somebody who feels they're on the outs. But Aaron, he's the holiest. Aaron, he's the most distinguished. Chol Shadaito, he becomes despondent, he has despair, he becomes demoralized. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to mefayas, Hashem has to appease him. How could it be? What's going on here? Says Rabbi Chesko Levenstein, Shadarkam Shalan Shemai Leshatamu, Tam Shaldarga Baruch Nius, V'tamus, Taima Shalolam, Inam Estapkem, V'inu Sivei Rotzam, Hamadregei Lavigyu, V'tamid Yishafu Lahasik, Od V'od Malas V'madregos. You see that what a person is competitive for says everything about them. Person who has drive, who has ambition, where is our drive? And how is our ambition directed? Bigger house, nicer car, more money, finer things, upgrade the latest, the newest, the biggest, the best. For the holy, for the spiritual, for the person who's at a high level, their she'ifa, their goal, their aim, their ambition, their drive is in Ruchnius, is in Torah. Aaron is not envious or jealous that he says, take it away from them and give it to me. Envy is forbidden as usur. When you say, I deserve, not the other. When you say, take it from them and give it to me. I deserve much more. But when you say, I want also, I want in addition, why not me? Why not me? Says Rabbi Yechezkel Levenstein, the Mashkiach, or Yechezkel, this is the greatness of Aaron. He was sad. There's an opportunity to come close to you, Hashem. There's an opportunity for spirituality. There's an opportunity to experience a closeness and a connection with you. I want it. And chevra, this is the theme of our parsha. We'll have in our parsha later, Pesach Sheni. This group, we'll get to it and we'll see. Lomani Gara, why are we left out? Why are we deprived of the opportunity, of the chance? Who in the right mind, who today, if given a year off from Pesach, don't clean, don't offer the korban, don't make your way to Yerushalayim, don't worry about the cost, don't worry, you get a year off. Everyone would say, psh, okay, not asking any questions, taking my year off. But not that demographic, not that group, not those who were ineligible for the first Pesach. They said, Lama Nigara, why should we miss out? You see, when you're spiritually demoralized, when you're spiritually disconnected, when you're spiritually dry, then when you have a chance to be off the hook, you're grateful, you're glad, you're excited. No tachanun, great. Less davening, no tachanun. But when you're an Aaron HaKohen, when you are the generation who pushed and pressured Moshe, what about Pesach Sheni? Then you don't say, great, I'm off, a break, a vacation. You say, Lama Nigara. You say, it's not fair to me. Chol Shadaito, Aaron says, everyone else has the chance. I want in. I want that opportunity. I want that chance. I want to be able to come close. This Chor LeDavid, a sefer by Rav David Milanovsky, who is a Rosh Hashiva of Or Torah, he says, Tzarech Lavin Ma Bir Bepitzei Madlik Ametiv Yosef Malos Karbonos. Hashem appeases Aaron. And how does he appease Aaron? He appeases Aaron by telling him, don't worry. Don't worry. Yours is greater than theirs. How does that make him better? In what way is lighting the menorah greater than the karbanos? These karbanos were many animals, multi-animals. These karbanos were in high profile. And Aaron, he's cleaning out and lighting the candelabra. In what way is it greater? So it says the Zechor David, Shekakol shekorbanos anisimai pu'ulu gedolav in his gava, b'chol zos pu'ula chad pa'amis. These karbanos were offered one time. It was a one-time event, one-time experience. It was lofty. It was noble. It was beautiful. It was high profile, but it was one time. But Aaron hadlaka sanerasi puula kvua yom yomis v'ikvus alachin zeu pitzui gadol mechanukas anesiim. Aaron, you have consistent. It is constant. It is ongoing, and therefore it is greater. Sometimes we think that that which gains or garners the greatest attention, the biggest stage, the highest profile, that's what's big. That's what's significant. That's what's important. And the small, little, seemingly insignificant things, the everyday mundane, that's unimportant. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, tells Aaron, what you have is gedola mishelachem, yours is greater. Because in fact, the capacity to maintain the consistency, the ability to have the continuity, the ability to be reliable and dependable in the seemingly small, but to show up and to do what's needed, and to do so without fanfare, that's in fact greater. That is in fact loftier. That is in fact a higher level. So you see from Aaron's reaction and Hashem not telling Aaron, grow up, what are you complaining about? How can you be kvetching? It's not fair to me. Instead, Hashem says, wow, that's fantastic. Hashem validates Aaron's feeling and then tells him, don't worry, you get to light the candles and that's greater. You see that a healthy competitiveness in spirituality, a competitive nature can sometimes be good. Competitiveness is not good if it's a win-lose, if you're trying to defeat the other. But in Stephen Covey's model of a win-win, if you say you succeed, you grow, you climb that spiritual mountain, I don't want it instead of you, I don't want it in lieu of you, I want it in addition to you. To see someone who's an amazing davener, someone who's a great learner, see someone who's an incredible instinct for chesed, for tzedakah, and you say, not that I want that honor or glory, or I want that skill or capacity instead, I want it in addition. I too have the drive, have the ambition. I want to be like them. Hashem rewarded, he appeased, he acknowledged. And he said, don't worry, when you see someone who's getting the fanfare, who's got the feature, that's one time, that's not great. Greatness is reliability, dependability. Greatness is found in the small, seemingly insignificant. Greatness is showing up each and every day. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, she'akol nehiyeh bedvaro. That is greatness. There's a beautiful Ramban here. I don't think we have time to get into it. We discussed it in the past. When the Ramban says that, Aaron, don't worry, your descendants, the Chashmonaim, they're going to light the menorah forever. But Hanukkah hadn't yet happened. The story, the miracle of lighting the menorah hadn't yet happened. The story of Hanukkah hadn't yet happened. How does the Ramban make sense? How does the Ramban understand that's what possibly is the conversation happening here in the Torah that precedes by a long time the story of Hanukkah? What does that mean? What does that mean? Is for another time we could dive deep into it. But let's keep going. Peraches Pasuk Gimel. Let's keep going. Oh, one more idea. Well, one more before we keep going. What was this under this Ramban? There's a lot to unpack about the Ramban. We'll just do a little bit. What was the Maila Gedola of Beis Chashmonai? That was Gedola Me'avodos Karbonos Beis HaMikdash. What the Chashmonai, according to the way the Ramban understands this conversation, Aaron says it's not fair to me, I didn't get to bring the sacrifices. Hashem says, relax. They did was only when the Beis HaMikdash existed. But your descendants, the Chashmonai, they're going to step up, they're going to light the candles. And that will transcend even when there is the Golas Yavan, even when there is that exile of Yavan. Says Rav Steinman Zatzal in his Ayelas HaShachar, he says the Nesiim, they brought the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Karbanos, which is very lofty, it's very great. It's one of the Avodas, the three things the world rests on. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim, gives Hashem a great Nachas Ruach. Hashem has a great joy and a great satisfaction. However, Nidvasam Ha'isum Mugbelas B'midah Mesuyemes, Parachad, Ayelachad, Karas Kesef, Mezuah Kesef, Kaf Malaya Ketores, it was defined. They had a specific carbon they were each meant to bring. It was overlapping. It was the same, but it wasn't redundant, as we said. Each chef brings the recipe, but adds their own kinach, their own flavor, their own spice. It comes out different, the individuality. But it was defined. There were boundaries. There were parameters. B'chozos avodos ha-karbonos shetluy b'zman shom makom. However, the avodos chashmonayim was belishum tanaim. There were no boundaries. There was nothing that held them back. They overcame nisyonos kashim. It was an exile, it was a Golas Yavan. They sacrificed themselves with the Mesiras Nefesh. The Nesiim also gave of themselves, dedicated and devoted, and contributed their very selves. But they did so under certain pleasant, comfortable circumstances. The Chashmonaim showed Mesiras Nefesh. Shilcha Gedola Mishilahem. That which we have to give with Mesiras Nefesh, that which we have to give with extra effort and sacrifice and compromise and difficulty, that's L'dorei Doros. That is everlasting. That is the most transformational. And that's why what you have is greater, in fact, even than theirs. Okay, let's keep going. Pasuk tells us, after Aaron receives this instruction, Baha'alos Chesaneros, Baha'alos Chesaneros, so a fascinating question, the Megid Yosef of Sirotkin wonders. When it comes to the Mizbeach, there's a ramp. You're not allowed to climb on steps. You can't expose or reveal your nakedness. You can't stand still in the approach to the Mizbeach. So there's a ramp you have to run up, and yet, when it comes to the menorah, there's a step, there's a platform. Aaron ascends, Baha'aloscha, when you ascend the platform to light the menorah. In what way are the menorah and the mizbeach different? That it's okay for the menorah to have a platform, where the mizbeach has a ramp, not a platform. He asks a great question. Curious if you have a good answer, let me know. But next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. V'yaskein Aaron. Aaron gets the instructions to light the menorah, and he does so. El mul p'nei menorah. He lights facing the menorah. Just as he is commanded. And Rashi tells us on this pasuk, Vayaskein Aaron, Aaron did exactly as he was commanded. Lehagid, to tell us, Shvacho shel Aaron sheloshina. This is the greatness of Aaron. Aaron did not deviate, he did not change. He followed the instruction verbatim. He followed what he was asked to do exactly. He was very exacting and scrupulous and vigilant. Now, that's a beautiful comment, endorsement of Aaron. But we have thought for a moment, would we have hesitated or considered, would we have contemplated that Aaron was going to inject his own creativity, distort, manipulate, change? What does that mean, that Aaron didn't change? That's a compliment for an Aaron? So in a letter of the Altar of Kelm to one of the Vadei Musar of his Talmidim, he said, Ha'adam eino nivchan davchen b'maisim gedolim v'atzumim. Person is not judged by the large and the great things. Adarabba, lefamim kala adam lasos mivtzaim gedolim. Sometimes we can rise to the occasion. We're asked to do something monumental, something extraordinary. We can rise to the occasion of something enormous. Lasok batzalas nefashos, to get involved in saving lives, to dig deep into our pocket, to write a big check, to sacrifice our time, our resources, to show up. But amivchana amiti, the real test of a person is not when the lights and the camera are on, when the stage is set. They're not in the big and the large monumental moments. They're in the small moments. Ha'ma'adam oso osam kefishet tzarech. Do we do the way we're meant to do? Do we act and do we respond and do we do when no one's watching? had a Rebbe used to say, you know, sometimes you see someone, they get an aliyah to the Torah. They're called up to the Torah. And the way they recite that Birchas HaTorah, Asher b'charbanu mikol la'amim, such kavana, they krechts it out, they scream it out, they cry it out with such intense kavana. I said, but, you know, when they're not getting that aliyah, every one of us recite the Birchas HaTorah every morning. It's part of our morning routine, part of our Birchas HaShachar. When no one's around and you're at home and you're getting your day started, when you're just launching into your Birchas HaShachar, you're not standing on the bima, and everybody's not watching and listening, and nobody hears, do you say the Birchas HaTorah the same way you do when you're getting an aliyah to the Torah? It's the small, seemingly insignificant, it's the daily, consistent routine. That's what speaks about a person. That's what testifies to the person. That's what the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us. Have a zar b'mitzvah kalik v'chamura, that a person should treat what seems like a small and significant thing like a great thing. Hatzadikam amitim osim esek b'mitzvah kalos v'kalos kilo haisa chamura shebechamuras. The great and the righteous would pay attention and be vigilant with that which seems small like it was great. Avram Avinu hachnasas orchim, the extent that he went, the distance that he went, the sacrifice that he went, and he had his family involved. He got his wife, he got his son. Run, don't move slowly. Run, go above and beyond. Go above. Zeshvacha shel Aaron, shayle inayim l'ros, shepekula ketana. You know, this was custodial, janitorial, cleaning out the candelabra, setting up the wicks to light it again. You know, this doesn't seem significant. The shamash would do it, not the Rebbe. You know, this would be the Talmud, not the Rosh Yeshiva. To stand and to toil, to remove the old wicks, to clean it out, to fill it up, to add the new wicks. And yet, for Aaron, it never got old. It never grew rote, it never grew stale, it never lost its excitement. Why? Why? So this is the author of Kelm's insight. Why Vayas Kein Aaron? Why was Aaron Lahagit Shvacho Shlashina? He never changed, he never deviated, it never got old. What didn't change was not the performance and the way he did the mitzvah. What didn't change was his attitude towards the mitzvah. He didn't change. He didn't become too arrogant or too egotistical. He didn't become too elevated, too much above being able to do this mitzvah. For Aaron, psh, what a gift, what an opportunity, what an invitation. Why? How was he able to preserve that level of excitement, enthusiasm, alacrity? How did Aaron get as equally excited? It's Shabbos again. It's davening again. It's an opportunity for tzedakah, a mitzvah again. It's a chesed, a bikur cholim, or nicham aveilim again. How was it, Shiloshina, that he never changed? It never got old, it never grew stale, he never felt above it. The answer is found in the pasuk itself, says the author of Kelm. You know what the answer is? Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. When you feel that this is what Hashem commanded, this is our mission, this is what he expects, this is what he wants, this is how we come close. Mitzvah, kasher tziva, tzava, tzava, tzavos is to create a connection, a bond. Says the altar, bezet havinu mashani omer lachem tamid. At the time, Vilna, the great city, this is what he writes in the Chochmah and Musar Chelik Beis, the author of Kelm, this letter, he says, a minion of 10 who are excited to be there, who are davening and giving their all, who are fully mindful and present as they pray, they might as well be in the great shul of Vilna with thousands of people. It's not a matter of how size, small, big, large. It's not a matter of how ornate. It's a matter of our attitude. It's a story of Chaim Ezer Grzynski once went to Krakow in Galicia, and he had a certain meeting. The problem is that he had his coat, his rabbinic garb got torn. He had a tear, and he went to a tailor. He found the name of a tailor. He was in a great meeting in Krakow, and Rav Chaim Ezer, the great posek, arguably the greatest posek of his generation, the great Chaim Ezer in Krakow had this tear. He couldn't appear that way. So he found a tailor, and he went to the tailor's home, and he asked the tailor if he could repair the tear. The tailor said, absolutely. I just need a moment, because it was Hanukkah. I just need to light the Hanukkah licht. I need to light the Hanukkah candles, and then I can repair your tear. So Chaim Ezer said, this simple tailor, how long will it take him to light the Hanukkah candles? A minute? Two? But he watched. Chaim Ezer watched, and he couldn't believe what he saw. What happened? What happened? He was not a yadav. This tailor went, and first he washed his hands. And then he took off his weekday shmata, his clothing, his tailor garb. And instead he put on his big day Shabbos. He went and he transformed himself into his Shabbos clothing. He washed his hands. And then he lit the Hanukkah candles with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his kavanah, of all his mindfulness. And then he sang slowly and with feeling, Ma'os Tzur. And it took half an hour, 45 minutes, until finally he turned to Rav Chaim Moizer and he was ready to repair his garment. Rav Chaim Moizer would tell this story over and over. And he would say, you see, this is why Galicia, Krakow are such great cities of Torah. Because even the simple tailor approaches a mitzvah with excitement, with joy, with enthusiasm, with alacrity. It never grows old, it never grows stale, it never becomes rote. You put on your Shabbos clothing, you wash your hands, you slowly, mindfully pay attention and insert your entire self. L'hagit shvacho, this was the shevach of an Aaron that he never changed, it never grew old, it never grew stale. In the Sefer Emes Ve'emuna that we've been learning from Kotzker, so it says the following. Kotzker would quote the Yira Kadosh, a Yehudi HaKadosh, B'shosh HaBerech B'chi Yom HaBracha Shelo Asani Goy, Hirgish B'nafsho, Shenishtana B'chi Yom, K'mo Me'eni Yehudi LiYehudi. That the Yira Kadosh would describe that when he would make the bracha every morning in his Birchas HaShachar, he'd say the bracha Shelo Asani Goy, thank you Hashem that I was not born a non-Jew. Not discriminating and not biased and not disparaging non-Jews, but it means non-Jews only have 7 mitzvahs and we have 613. So we're so grateful for the opportunity and invitation to do more mitzvahs. And the Yira Kadosh would feel when he made that bracha every day when he said that bracha Shlo Asani Goy, he felt like he converted, like he transformed from a non-Jew to a Jew. V'hosiv Rabbeinu V'amar, the Kotzker would add, Haperish B'divrei Rashi. That's what Rashi meant here. V'yaskein Aaron Shaloshina. Aaron did similarly, he didn't change. What does that mean? Shelo hisyashin, the word shina can mean he didn't change. He didn't distort, he didn't pervert, he didn't manipulate, he didn't change the mitzvah. He followed through exactly as his brother had commanded, as he told him. He didn't change it whatsoever. However, the Kotzker understood it differently. Instead of seeing the word shina as to change, shelo hisyashan etzlo, it didn't become old. Uvechol yom haya oved mechadash, velo birgilas kmo davar yashan. Something old, yashan is old, outdated, archaic, stale, old. You know, we live in a time, we live in a generation that old, outdated, we're constantly upgrading. We need the latest model. We need the upgrade. We turn it in and we upgrade our phone and upgrade our operating system and upgrade our car. And unfortunately and tragically, people try to upgrade members of their family, upgrade their marriage. We're living with the mentality of a disposable society where we're constantly seeking to upgrade. So says the Kotzker, applying the insight of the Yid HaKadosh. The Yid HaKadosh said, every day Shlo Asani Goy was like he became new again, he was born again, born Jewish again, as if he just became Jewish again, he just became bar mitzvah again, just became bas mitzvah again, just became obligated in mitzvahs again. V'yaskein Aaron, that's what Aaron did. Shiloshina doesn't mean he didn't change. Shiloshina, it didn't become yashan. It never got old. It never grew stale. It never grew old. It never became outdated. It was fresh and it was new. Mechadash. It wasn't yashan. It wasn't old. You could add similarly, maybe, not only yashan old. Yashan means to sleep. Shiloshina, he never slept, walked through it. How many of us sleep, walk through life? People finish davening, they don't even remember coming to shul. They don't remember opening the sitter. They don't remember taking 3 steps forward by the time they take the 3 steps back. We sleepwalk through mitzvahs, we sleepwalk through learning, we finish listening to the daf, learning the daf, we don't even know what daf, we don't even know what it was about. We're sleeping with our eyes open, we're sleepwalking through life. Shiloshina, yashan, it wasn't old, yashen, he wasn't sleepwalking, and it never lost his enthusiasm for it. Okay, perchav, perches, rather, pasuk, vav, moving right along. The next section, the consecration, the sanctification of the Levium, their great place of distinction. Take the Levium from the Jewish people, and purify them. What does it mean Moshe is instructed to take the Levium? How is he meant to take him? In handcuffs? With a rope? With a straitjacket? Throw him in the back of a truck? What does it mean? Take them. Take them and purify them because they're closest. You see that those who are meant to be role models, those who are meant to be teaching and leading and modeling, they need to demand more of themselves, more is expected of them. They have to live a higher level, v'tiartosam, you have to live a higher level of purity. But says Rashi, kaches levim, what does that mean? Kachem bidvarim, ashrechem shezachisam liyoshamashem lemakom. Kach bidvarim. Rashi says, kaches levim, how do you take them? Bidvarim. With words. Oh, you see something so important. Recently on Buying the Bima, we had Elisheva List, a marriage and family therapist, and she spoke about how you could be the type of person that others are comfortable to disagree with. How can you be the type of humble and modest person? How could you make space and room for others to be able to disagree with you? Says Rashi, kach, take them how? Bidvarim, with persuasion. Use your words. Don't overpower and don't weaponize and don't abuse and don't bully and don't use force. We have to learn the power of persuasion to speak. And if you can't persuade successfully, then you make space and room for other people to have different opinions. So other people have different opinions. What a beautiful insight. And you see this throughout our Torah often. When we talk about Dvarim, Kach, how does Kach Kicha is described not to take forcefully, not to take physically, but Bidvarim, with our words. With our words are the way that we're meant to capture. Okay, Perches, Pasuk Yotes, still here on Perches and the consecration of the Levim. Pasuk Yotes, Ve'etnas ha-Levim nesun la'aron levanam yisof b'nei Yisrael. Assign the Levim to be presented to Aaron and his sons from among Klal Yisrael. Avodas avodas b'nei Yisrael. They're meant to serve and to work for the Jewish people. Ba'omoid l'chaper al b'nei Yisrael. V'lo yeh b'nei Yisrael negev b'geshes b'nei Yisrael la'kodesh. And the children of Israel attempt a meeting to provide atonement for them so there won't be a plague among Klal Yisrael when they approach the Kodesh, when they approach the sanctuary and the holy place. Ve'etna es Levim. Zogt Rashi, says Rashi here on this, the etnes Levim. You notice in this pasuk, how many times does it say B'nai Yisrael? We got it. The children of Israel. Hashem, your people, your nation, your children. I got it. The etnes Levim is la'aron levana bitoch, B'nai Yisrael. Lavodas avodas, B'nai Yisrael. Lachaper al, B'nai Yisrael. V'lo yeh, B'nai Yisrael, negef, B'geshes, B'nai Yisrael, el hakodesh. Where's the camera? Five times. No less than five times. Why five times? When you hear the number five, it should elicit an association. What is the number five reminiscent of? Chamesh pa'amim nemar Hashem Yisrael, lehodia chibasan shi Yisrael, shehem keneged chamisha chumshe Torah. Five times it says B'nai Yisrael. Why? To reference, just like the Chumash, it is the love and the affection that Hashem has for the Jewish people. It says our name five times. Just like the Chumash, just like the Chumash. What does one thing have to do with the other? What does the Chumash have to do with Hashem's love for us? Is it just a cute number? Five times we're mentioned. Chumash, Chamesh, five books of Moshe. What does it mean? So the author of Kelm, so quoting several authors of Kelm here, saying Chachma Musar Gen Chelik Beis, Amud Reish Gimel, he says the following. Hishtomamti Ma'od Ma'od Arov HaChaviv HaShiyish LaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I was moved. I was shocked. I was uplifted. Wow. I was wowed by the love and the affection that Hashem has for the Jewish people. Chamesh pa'amim epasuk echad. Five times in one pasuk. Chuzo Hashem yizborach al amilim b'nei Yisrael. Hashem says the same name, the same words over and over again. Masha b'chesh b'am pasha yirako rosha masbika yipam achas. If you look at the pasuk grammatically, it would have worked out well to simply say our name once. Why five? Ela sha'av mazkers b'no chavivo eno ayef yagel hazker shuv v'shuv is b'no chavivo b'tor chibaso. You say, my tayar akind, my beautiful son, my beautiful daughter, my child. You say their name, you love that child over and over and over again. You say their name. A name is an expression of affection. A name elevates. A name creates a bond and a connection and a closeness. So says the altar of Kelm, Im lo nichtav b'torah lo yu'uman avas av levno b'mida kazu. Had it not been written in the Torah, you wouldn't believe it. The love a father could have for a child. The love Hashem has for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. That level of affection, of connection, that level of elevating us by using our name. If He shows this love to us, we have to reciprocate. And we should love Him back. That devotion, that dedication, that love back to Him. You see from here this expression of affection, this incredible love, this connection and this closeness. But it goes further. It goes further. There's a beautiful insight here from Rav Gedalia Eisenman, who was the Mashkiach of Kol Torah, on this Rashi. What did Chazal meant? Five times the words B'nai Yisrael and Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the five books of Moshe. What's the connection? What's the connection? Bo Chazal lamednu b'zeh shakomalas levim novas mikoach haklal Yisrael kivish matzinu b'divrei Rashi l'pasuk hu asachava yechon neka mikem kohanim mikem malachim. This is a critical, critical notion. The idea that a Talmud Chacham, a Tzaddik, a Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, a Rav derives their power, derives their leadership, derives their strength, derives their creativity, derives their chidushim from the koach of the tzibur, from the strength and the merit of the community. Of the community. That's where it comes from. And that's what the pasuk means to tell us here. That So we derive our strength. A second by the Bima reference, when we had Rabbi Mansur Shlita, he spoke about the fact that when he goes in scholar in residence and he speaks elsewhere, it takes him longer to prepare, and it's much harder to give a successful drasha. When you're home, your kihila, your tzibur, it's the koach, that's what gives the rabbi, the rav, the speaker, the rebbetzin strength, that's what gives them their creativity, that's what gives them their leadership. And that's chamish pa'amim, odech yibashan chamishe chumshe Torah. That's where this power comes from. That's where that merit comes from. It comes, the power of Torah comes from the community. Klal Yisrael chamushe chumshe Torah. The five times B'nai Yisrael, the five times of Chumash, the power of Torah comes from the unity and the connection of Klal Yisrael. Of Klal Yisrael. I saw another insight of where it may come from. I don't remember where I saw this. Was this Kotzk? Maybe it was from the Kotzker. But I might have thought there's a distinction, that there's a difference. Oh, maybe the Kotzker. Chamisha pa'am nemer B'nai Yisrael b'mikra zeh. We're mentioned so many times, just like the Chumash. Oh, this is a Kotzker. The Levim are separated out. Levim are not included in the census and the count of Klal Yisrael. Levim have a position of distinction. The rest of the Jewish people might have gotten sad. That we lost our power, we lost our sanctity, we lost our holiness. Who are we and what are we? We are failures. We flopped, we came up short. The Levim didn't participate in the Egel. They're counted separately. And they're charged with a mission and a mandate with a greater level of holiness. All the holiness went to them. And who and what are we? Lachain chiba yiseir nadas lahem. Says the Kotzker, Hashem showed a special affection. You're not oisfarfs, you're not rejects, you're not failures. And that's where the metaphor, the parallel to Chumash comes in, says the Kotzker. Each is its own book. In fact, we get into that in our Parsha. Really, there were seven books, not five. Ibn Soha Aron is bracketed by those nuns. How many books of Torah are there? Each is a distinct unit. Each Sefer of Chumash is its own unit. It's its own Sefer, and yet they combine to create Torah. Chamishei Chumshei Torah. It's the five books of Moshe, but known as the five books, simultaneously it is the one Torah. Kein amatali soy. Afa pishamadrigos and nechlik lisholish kedusos. The Gemara Shavas Peches calls us a threefold people. We're made up of Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Mikomakom ma'eda kulum kedoshim v'sochem Hashem. V'am Yisrael goy echad kadoshu lelokav. Here the Kotzker uses Korach's words, but in the positive sense, that kulam kedoshim, all of us are holy. We are a threefold people. They're Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Three identities, three demographics, three separate units. But just like there are five separate books, but they comprise the one Torah, each of us is our own book. Each of us is our own chapter. Each of us is in our own tribe. Each of us is made up of different Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And yet, we are one people. Kol ha'ida kulam kedoshim v'sochem Hashem. Am Yisrael zegoy echad kadosh. So therefore, says the Kotzker, that's what the pasuk was telling us. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the chiba, the love that he has, don't feel you're rejected. Don't feel you're a failure. Don't feel that Hashem gave up hope on you and he turned only to the Levim. Just like Chumash are five separate books, but they make up one sefer. Klal Yisrael are each separate people, but we make up one. We make up of separate tribes. We're separate groups, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, but we make up one Klal Yisrael. Okay, that was the altar of Kelm, and that is the Rav Gedaliah Eisenman. Okay, moving along. Perktes Pasuk Zayin. Perktes. Moving along. Apprenticeship, responsibility, the different ages. Perktes Pasuk Zayin. Oh, Now we come to the Pesach Sheni. We alluded to it earlier, that just like Aaron had aspiration and ambition, he didn't only want to kill it in Gashmias, he wanted to kill it in Ruchmias. You know, we have this notion of being mistapik b'mu'ah, a person should be able to be satisfied with little. We have a notion, Sameach b'chelko. Do we apply Sameach b'chelko to Ruchmias? Do we say, be satisfied with your lot in spirituality? Or do we say, no breakthrough barriers, push further, be ambitious, be driven, be competitive. When it comes to Ruchnias, when it comes to the pursuit of the spiritual, maybe we shouldn't be Sameach b'chelko. We don't say, my lot is to come late, leave early, have no kavana. We don't say, my lot is to barely learn, not learn, or learn superficially. We don't say, my lot. We say, no, I'm capable, I'm driven, I want more. That certainly is the tradition that we have from Aaron, the beginning of the Parsha, and now that we have from those who were impure because they participated in the Pesach Sheni. We've spoken about this in the past. They were carrying the bones of Yosef. Yosef is the king of second chances. He gives his brother a second chance. He gives Hashem a second chance. And therefore, they were given, Klal Yisrael were given a second chance. That's the holiday of second chances. But it's also the holiday of Lama Nigara. Why, Hashem, don't you trust me? So Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin, why should I lose that? Why should I be deprived? So the people say, sorry, Anachnu Tmeim. Perek Tes Pasuk Zayin, I read the wrong Pasuk. So these people tell Moshe, they confront him and they say, Anachnu Tmeim Lenefesh Adam. Lama Nigara. We're impure. We're contaminated. Why should we lose out? Why don't we get to participate? Why don't we get to offer the sacrifice? Why? So Rashi here says, "Ruya haisa parshas tameim likasav yedei Moshe Rabbeinu." This story of Pesach Sheni, the notion of those who were contaminated, ineligible to participate in the first Pesach, and they were given the second Pesach. This law should have been introduced and taught by Moshe. Ela zachu eila benichtav ayadam lelametcha shemegalgan zchus yedei zakayim. However, instead of Moshe being the one to initiate and to capture and to communicate this law, it was done through this group of people. What was their merit? These people who couldn't bring the Pesach, and they came to Moshe with this taina. And Moshe asked Hashem, and Hashem taught Moshe. And a new halacha was introduced called Pesach Sheni. And Rashi says, Sha'amna me'en kadoshim kreiv metumma, ulam nitan lishcha b'tahara v'echilim t'meim. Uriah is the parshas le'amar yidei Moshe. Could have been done. There was another way out. It could have been taught through Moshe. V'ikvas parsha zu metzuyin klal Yisrael b'chol shana es Pesach Sheni. It's because of this parsha. It's because of this conversation. Because of this challenge and complaint that we every year have Pesach Sheni. But what is Pesach Sheni? Halakol adavar kar l'anashim yichidu shenentu v'nitmu. This whole thing came about because of a few people. These were fringe. These were outliers. They were impure. They were contaminated. They couldn't participate. So they were a fringe group of individuals, a fringe group of outliers. Ma makom yishlo klal Yisrael. So what? Why are we commemorating it? Each and every year we honor, we commemorate. We don't say tachanun. Many of the minhag to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. All because a group of individuals, all because of a group of outliers, couldn't participate in the korban. Says Rav Zeidel Epstein, one of our fan favorites, Rav Zeidel Epstein, the Mashgiach of Torah, or based on something Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes in Pri Tzadok, that there's a big difference between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Pesach Rishon, Achanas Nesoris Bo Min HaShemayim. Pesach Rishon is top down. Pesach Rishon, we are overwhelmed. Pesach Rishon, we get this burst, this breakthrough of illumination, of enlightenment, of incredible, incredible insight. Lachin Gam Akrava Ashkita Ilfi Amavur B'Targum Yonasan Kasher Yisrael Nisulves HaMikdash Yishalayim Ba'ananam HaKriva Pesach. Torah tells us that even when we were in Egypt, God carried us on eagle's wings. And the Targum Yonasan, the Apostle says, he took us from Mitzrayim on the wings of eagles to Yerushalayim to offer the first korban. What a night, Isra Usa de la'ila. What a night of overwhelming light and breakthrough and redemption from above. Pesach Sheni is not top down. Pesach Sheni is bottom up. It's bottom up. Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Eina korban nasa betumah. Hudacha usam b'shem halacha. Moshe at first pushed them away. Moshe resisted them. Moshe was reluctant. Moshe said they're wrong halachically, but they didn't agree. They refused to take no for an answer. They persevered. They pushed through. They were tenacious. Lama nigara, like Aaron at the beginning of the Parsha. They refused to lose out, to miss out. We insist on saying tachanun. What do you mean we're exempt? What do you mean we're out? What do you mean we're not entitled? And it's in their merit that we repeat it. This is the holiday of Lama Nigara. It's the yontif of lama nigara, of never being satisfied, of not saying it's good enough, of not having good, but striving for great. Striving for great, such a love, such a passion, such a commitment for Torah and mitzvos, we need to live and model and instill in our families and those around us that we have an attitude of lama nigara. Lama nigara, what do you mean? I can't miss marav with a minion. I can't miss the tzedakah opportunity everybody else gave. I want to give to it too. What do you mean the chesed chance? What do you mean the learning, the shir? I want to be invited. I want to go. I want a chance. Every one of us. Lama nigara. It's the yantif of lama nigara. Perek tes pasuk yud zayin. Turn the page. 7-8 in the art scroll. Stone. Chumash. Perek tes pasuk yud zayin. Oh, I love this section. The cloud of glory covered the Mishkan, and that's how they knew to go. Then all kinds of flight delays and cancellations and challenges. It's so hard to travel today. How did Klal Yisrael know? You know, of all the people who wait by the gate, and then they crowd the gate area, and then they have mosaic because everybody spent the money on the credit card. They didn't do it the old-fashioned way by flighting enough flight segments. And you have all the people who go on their wheelchairs who claim to not be able to walk on the way. And the miracle in the sky, 30,000 feet up, they're healed as soon as the plane lands. They don't need a wheelchair. They're able to run. Transportation is complicated and frustrating today. How did Klal Yisrael move around? How did they know? How did they know when it was their section? How did they know when they were called to board, to travel, to journey, to take off? How did they know? So the Pasuk tells us, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Pasuk itself tells us. Ulufei Arlos Hanan Mi'ala Oel, that when the cloud was lifted from on top of the tent, V'achar Ekein Yisu B'nei Yisrael, that's when the Jewish people knew it was time to go. Uvimkom Asher Yishkan Shami Anan, Shami Achanu B'nei Yisrael, and where the cloud would rest, that's when they were meant to encamp. So did they know, was it time to go, or was it time to stay? Api Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael, V'api Hashem Yachanu. When Hashem said it was time to go, it's time to go. When Hashem said it's time to stop and to rest, it's time to stop and rest. Kol Yemei Asher Yishkan Anan Al Mishkan Yachanu. All the days that the cloud would be on the Mishkan, that's when they would encamp. The Shlach HaKadosh says in this pasuk, we spoke about this on Shavuos. Our theme this past Shavuos was the Har Sinai, Kabbalah HaTorah, to get us ready for summer. All kinds of halachas of summer and travel and Tefilas HaDerech and Hagomel and kashering barbecues and all kinds of things. I gave a shiur on the Torah perspective on vacation and leisure and recreation and time out. And we quoted the Shlach HaKadosh. Shlach HaKadosh writes so beautifully that this pasuk was talking not only to the generation of the desert, that they would know to go and to stay based on the word of Hashem, but it's talking to us. Our life is filled with the same journeys as the Jewish people. We go and we come. We're at home and we're on the road. We are in the middle of our routine, and we take a break and we go on vacation. And the key, says the Shlach HaKadosh, the core is Api Hashem Yisau, V'Api Hashem Yachanu. We don't leave religion in the shul of the Beis Medrash. Religion doesn't stay at home and not come with us on the road. But rather, wherever we are, whenever we are, Api Hashem. Api Hashem. There's nothing wrong with taking time. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. There's nothing wrong with needing a break. There's nothing wrong with recreation. We had big, lots and lots of Mara Makomas, lots of sources to show. Not only is there nothing wrong, but it's our responsibility to the healthy mind and a healthy body and a healthy soul. And one needs to find that space. But you could do it in excess. Person could play golf and tennis and mahjong too much. Person could take too many vacations. Person could sleep too much. How do we know that right balance? How do we know how much? Says Lashlach Kadosh, Api Hashem Yisov ve'Api Hashem Yachanu. Hashem comes with us. Is our vacation a Torah Dika vacation? Malah Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. The whole world is filled. Simple understanding that Pasuk Malah Ha'aretz Kinyanecha means that Hashem, you own the entire world. You've made a kinyan. You have acquired. The entire world is yours. But the alternative understanding is Malah Ha'aretz Kinyanecha. It means the whole world is filled with opportunities to come close to you. Malah Ha'aretz, the entire world is filled, Kinyanecha, ways that we can make a kinyan, we can acquire you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we could find you in the plane and on the cruise. We could find you in the Tznius Dika beach or hike. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we can find you in the recreational activity that we're doing. If we meant for it to be a spiritual activity, Api Hashem Yisau, V'Api Hashem Yachanu. When we're home or when we're on the road, we can find you if it's Api Hashem. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us the following. Amar Ula, Kasavar Rabbi Yossi, this is a beautiful Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz. I don't remember if I said it before, but it bears repeating and saying again, it's so beautiful, along the same lines as the Shlach HaKadosh. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that one of the Lamates Malachas, one of the 39 acts of creative labor, is Soser. You're not allowed to demolish or destroy. You can't deconstruct soser. When do you violate the biblical prohibition of soser? When is it a biblical prohibition of demolishing? When it is soser amanas livnos. When you destroy on condition to build. Just like you're only liable for erasing if you plan to write on that spot, you're only liable for destroying when you plan to build on that spot. And the Gemara concludes that you're only soser amanas livnos ba'oso makom. If you destroy as a precondition to be able to rebuild and renovate in the same spot, that's the biblical prohibition. If you destroy and you abandon, you don't plan on rebuilding there, it's rabbinically prohibited but not biblically prohibited. Frag Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asks the great Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, and the Sichos Musar wonders, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, I don't understand. It has to be Dumya Demishkan. We learn out the 39 categories of creative labor. What's creative labor that we have to abstain and refrain from on Shabbos? We learn from whatever was deemed, whatever was determined to be creative labor, to build the Mishkan, a house for Hashem. It has to be Dumya Demishkan for the Malacha to be biblically prohibited. The Av Malacha is similar to the way it was done in the Mishkan. The Mishkan wasn't Soser Amanas Livnos in the same place. In the Mishkan, we took apart the Mishkan in order to rebuild, but not to rebuild in the same place, to rebuild in the next place. So how could it be? How could you learn? How could you possibly learn? So Samanas Livnos is a malacha from the Mishkan when it's not similar to the Mishkan. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz gives a mashal. He gives a beautiful metaphor. He says, you know, imagine a mother with a baby travels, whether it's for family simchas, personal vacation, business. The mother with this tiny little baby, this tiny little infant, travels all over the world. Australia, South Africa, the Far East, United States, West Coast, East Coast, of course, Eretz Yisrael, travels all over. When the mother returns, her passport will be stamped, each of those locations, each of those countries, each of those continents. But if you ask the baby, where were you? The baby will answer, in my mother's arms. This mother, literally or figuratively, wore a baby Bjorn or carried the baby in her arms or stroller. But the baby, from the baby's perspective, while the baby maybe geographically was all over the world, the baby feels I was in my mother's arms all along. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, when we were in the Mishkan, wherever the Mishkan was, we were in Hashem's arms. Api Hashem Yisov, Api Hashem Yachanu. We're in Hashem's embrace. We're in Hashem's vicinity. We are in place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is embracing and loving and affectionately holding us wherever we are. So therefore, the Mishkan is the exception that even though geographically it may have moved, that was Sosa Amanas Livnos in the same place because we were in Hashem's arms. We were Bechek Imi. We were in Hashem's arms all the time, all the time. And that says, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that we say in the Yom Noraim. Koma Hashem Zachariti Lechesed Noraich Hashem, we remember the Chesed. Hashem says, I remember the Chesed. Avas Kalulos Leich Lechtech Achaba Midbar Beretz Lo Zerua. Klai Yisrael Chasu B'tzila Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. We were in the shade, the shadow, in the embrace of Hashem. We were invested entirely in our relationship with Him. We felt entirely protected from His shade, from His shadow. We were under His wings. Leficha gamim nasu kosmami makom lemakom. Even if we went from place to place, nechshav hadavar shein nimtzayim ba'osam makom. It's as if we were in the same place. Api Hashem yachanu ve'api Hashem yisa'u. Ke'akol hisnahel api v'isbarach. When a person, every step they take, every decision they make, every behavior, every pivot, every turn, am I moving? Am I taking this job? Should I marry this girl? Am I taking which school? Every decision, Api Hashem Yisau, V'Api Hashem Yachanu. When is the time to move on? When is the time to settle down? What is the right decision? It has to be Api Hashem. I'm in His embrace. I am reporting and I am accountable to Him. And therefore, no matter where, no matter what, we're always in His arms, and that's why it was legitimate and acceptable and understandable to learn that halacha from there. Perek Yud, Pasuk Beis. Moving right along, we're still talking about the traveling. How did we know to travel? When they would summon, when they would call the entire people to Moshe, or that it was time to break up the camp, we're about to hit the road, everybody to the gate, stop buying overpriced water bottles and hummus containers that don't have enough pretzels proportional to the hummus in them in the airport store. They're boarding. It's time to go. How would they alert everyone it was time to go? They would blow the chatzotros. They would blow the silver trumpets. They would blow the silver trumpets. The Torah says, Asei lecha shtei chatzotros kesef, make two silver chatzotros. Asei lecha, the word asei is understandable. You have to make. But why does it say lecha? Make what? for yourself. Says Rashi, "Asei lecha, make for yourself. Ata oseh u'mishtamesh behem v'lo acher. You make these chatzotzot. They're good for you. They're not good for anyone else. These were for Moshe's exclusive use. He had the status of a king. These trumpets were his. They were hidden right before Moshe's death. And even Yehoshua, even Moshe's most loyal servant, Moshe's most loyal successor, most loyal student, even Yehoshua did not know where they were. Why? Why did the chatzotzot need to be individually to Moshe? Why was it asei lecha? Not asei, not just make or fashion them, but asei lecha, make for you. Why did Moshe need his own? Why did they need to be different than everybody else? Why do they need to be different than everybody else? So many say this, Bechezkel Abramsky says it among others, that the reason is every generation needs their own chatzotzros. When you want to call the Eidah, when you gather the people, when you want to move people, when you want to inspire people, when you want to transform people, when you want to move people, when it's time to move, when you want to pivot, when you want to change, when you want to grow, when you want to break out, every generation has its own language. Every generation has its own vocabulary. Every generation has its own address. Some people live online, some people live offline. The chatzotzot to reach the people online, how do we bring Torah? And how do we challenge people to grow spiritually, religiously, to be better and best versions of themselves? You have to go Bashir Husham. And so the means, the tools, the vehicle, the instrument, the language, the vocabulary to reach people in every generation will change. And that's why it was chatzotzros asei lecha. Moshe, these chatzotzros, they work for you. But you know, Tavshin Pei Beis in 2022, when there'll be something called the internet, maybe social media, every community has different means and people live in different places, but we have different vocabulary and different ways we connect, different styles of minyanim and different approaches and different creative ways that we are going to reach people who respond differently. Every generation, says Yechezkel Abramsky, needs their own chatzotzros. Even the very next generation of Yehoshua couldn't use the chatzotzros of a Moshe. The vocabulary, the language has to change. The way that we reach people, the programming, the activity, it changes. So when it comes to Torah, we don't say, well, that's not the way we used to do it. It's not the way it was done before. Every generation, within reason, under the guidance, supervision, under the approval of our Gedolei Yisrael of every generation, we have to explore what are our chatzotzos. What language, what tools, what vehicle, what works for us, and what should we be using? How can we get the message across for our generation? Vayibin so Aaron, yeah, we have time, quickly, maybe. Ketinokos ha-boreach mi-beis sefer. We know Vayibin so Aaron was to separate Piranios, and Tosfos says they were like young children. The bell goes off, we're reading Parshas Baalos, the school's over in Florida, almost over in New York, school's over, kids are counting down, and when that last bell rings, they will not walk, they will run. Excited that school's over, they'll run away, and that's the way we were. That's what Tosfos says, that we ran away from Har Sinai 3 days. 3 days, the Ramban writes, Amr Shema Yar Belanu Mitzvos. Let's get out. Get out with 613 before he gives us more. Let's get out. Let's break out. Let's get away. One does Rav Zadel Epstein, our second Rav Zadel of the day, in his beautiful Sefer Ha'aros. I'm grateful to his grandson for giving it to me. Rav Zadel Epstein wonders, I don't understand. This is the same Klal Yisrael that Api Hashem Yachanu V'Api Hashem Yiso. I thought they board and they get off the plane all based on the instruction of Hashem. So if they traveled and they journeyed those 3 days, it's because Hashem told them to. So now we're going to hold them accountable. Now we're going to disparage them. Now we're going to talk about them like they were children running away from school. I thought they only traveled based on the guidance and approval and direction of Hashem, number one. Number two, Chazal calls this generation that Madar HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Doros L'mazah Dor Shayaroi L'kavos HaTorah O'Dor HaMidbar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu measured and evaluated all the generations, says the Yalkut Shemoni in Chabakuk. And he found the only generation worthy of receiving his Torah was this generation in the desert. So these are such a lofty generation that they deserve receiving the Torah. Such a lofty generation to get the Torah. And yet, we are disparaging them now by saying they ran away. How could it be? So Rav Zadel Epstein has a beautiful insight. And he says, yeah, they left because Hashem said to leave. Api Hashem Yisob, Api Hashem Yachanu. If they left, it's only because Hashem said to go. Because otherwise they wouldn't go, they couldn't go. They followed the direction of Hashem. And they were on such a high level. Where did they go wrong here? Hashem said to leave. Now, when shul is over, it's legitimately over. You don't have to stay in shul longer than it's over. When the shir is over, the parsha shir finally ends, you don't have to listen, you don't have to watch, you don't have to stay longer than it is going on or taking place. The question is not whether it's legitimate to leave. The question is, how do you feel about leaving? Do you say, I wish it were still going? I wish it never ended. I was enjoying that so much. I felt so elevated and enriched. I feel so empowered. I feel so connected. I wish it never ended. Or do we say, thank God, I'm so happy it's over. It couldn't be over soon enough. The issue is not that they left because Hashem told them to leave. The issue is, what is the attitude that we have? What is the attitude? Again, this is a theme of our parsha. We saw it at the beginning with Aaron Shloshina. We saw it with the Pesach Sheni Lama Nigara. And now we see that Klal Yisrael are held accountable, not for leaving and not for the journey, but for the attitude that they had on it. They exhaled, they relieved, they were grateful it was over, rather than being disappointed and wanting it to continue to go. Okay, last. Perk Yud Aleph Pasuk Hey. Last insight. And we saved maybe the best for last. This is Gevaldik, a Geshmak Torah. Perk Yud Aleph. The next Perk. And Pasuk Hey. Vayam Ki Mis'onanim Ra. So much to say about this. Mis'onanim Hit Ba'el. They were not complaining. They were a nation, a group of complainers. Hashem heard. He got really angry. Moshe Davins, you know the routine. Been there, done that before. Zacharnu, what do they complain? Zacharnu es hadaga asher nochal b'mitzrayim chinam. We remember the fish that we ate for free in Egypt. And we remember the kishuim avatichim. We remember these vegetables that we had and the onions that we had and the garlic that we had. And we remember. And we remember. Rashir says, we remember the fish we got in Mitzrayim, chinam, for free. What is chinam? Chinam means not the fish were free, but chinam min ha-mitzvos. Oh, we remember before HaSinai. We could eat, we could do, we could enjoy, we could experience, we could have intimacy with whoever we wanted, whenever we wanted. And then we got the Torah and it limited us. It put such boundaries and borders. They weren't complaining that the fish was free. They were remembering nostalgically when they were free. Free from mitzvos, chinam mita mitzvos. Wonders the Megid Yosef of Yosef Sorotskin. Wonders the Megid Yosef, even if they longed for being free. But still, what is this connected to the mun? Here they're complaining about the mun. No taste, it's boar, it's texture. They're complaining about the mun. What does the mun have to do with complaining or remembering nostalgically when they didn't have mitzvos? Good. And why fish? That's what they're longing for. Meat. No offense, Rabbi Moskowitz, who loves salmon. No offense to people who love fish. It's all about the meat. It's all about a good piece of flesh. So why are they recalling nostalgically the fish that it was free? Rabbi Bechai has a long discussion of this. But listen to what he says, the Megid Yosef. Fascinating insight. He says, where do you see the difference of a holy and an unholy person? Where does our Jewish identity really shine and show? In the way that we eat. We eat with holiness. We gave a whole shiur. You could find it on our YouTube channel. We gave a whole shiur about the Jewish perspective or attitude towards eating. Eating is one of the holiest activities we do because we need to eat to live, which means that all that we eat is Hashem's way of entering us to give us chiyus, to give us life. So do we have a mindfulness? Are we present? Do we eat what's kosher? Do we make a bracha before and after? Do we eat healthy amounts? Eating is part of our worship and service of Hashem. Eating is a holy activity. That's what we say. We're challenged. We're tempted to not eat in a holy way. Set a table before me. Neged sorarai. When we sit before our set table, we're before our enemies. The enemy is saying, indulge. Eat instinctively, impulsively. Overeat unhealthily. Don't be grateful, don't make a bracha, don't be present, don't be mindful. We're neged sorarai when tarach lefanai shulchan. That's why it's called lechem, milchama, bread comes from war. We're at war when we're eating, we're struggling to elevate. When Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were pursuing a spiritual life. But they thought Torah would only address their spirituality. They didn't realize that Torah would have something to say for their physical being. What does Torah have to say with my food? What does Torah have to say about how I eat? Torah is for shul, the way I daven. Torah is for the way I learn. How I eat? That's personal. It's secular. It's mundane. It's profane. They didn't accept that. They didn't accept that. Eating is a place of great taiva. Eating is a place, one of the places that we confront our greatest appetite. The word appetite is applied most in the world of eating. We have an appetite. We have a drive. We have a temptation. That's what they longed for. That's what they longed for. Why do they long for fish? Why was the fish free? So then Netziv says, you know why? Because fish, there's no shechita and no malicha. There are very few laws of kashas with fish. With an animal or a chicken, you have to shecht, and you have to inspect, and you have to make sure it's not a trefa, and you have to salt it and remove all of its blood. But fish, if it's a species that's kosher, fish, you clobber it on its head, you catch it with a hook in its mouth, and you're good to go. It doesn't have to be slaughtered in a certain way, and it doesn't have to be shechted in a certain way, and there's no trumas and maestros and chala. Ubasa ton shchita manas kahuna. Meat has slaughtering, and there are gifts from the meat that you give to the kohen, and fruit have bikurim and trumas and maestros. Only fish is free, and that's why they longed for fish. The reason there's a connection between the man and longing for fish and remembering when they were free of mitzvos is because free of mitzvos means they wanted to be free of the gashmias mitzvos, free of the mitzvos that speak to even how we eat and having to curtail our appetite for food and our appetite for other forms of temptation in life. That's what they were complaining about. That was the source of their complaint then. That's what we need to be careful and avoid in our complaint now. It's been wonderful. Next week again, we're only online, streaming live. Join us again, Parsha Perspectives, Tuesday morning, 9:30. If you've not yet signed up again, 1&1 campaign, brsonline.org/1&1. $1 a day of tzedakah with daily giving, minute a day of Torah learning. SD Moskowitz, have a Shlema. Till next time, stay happy, stay healthy, stay holy.